Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Ed Dufresne. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
2 Chronicles 20:20, and about in the middle of the verse. Some people are just familiar with this, but they don't know it. It says, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. You know, a lot of times the spirit of familiarity kills that. And some folks you can't help. I've seen it around here. I tell people to do a different thing. They say, well, they ration it out in their mind. They just go and you know, you're trying to help them. But you can't. So I want you, if you know, it's your decision to believe what God has showed me. Can you say amen? I was in Minnesota up at a Holy Ghost seminar. I don't know how long ago was that, a year and a half ago, something like that. Year and a half. Dad Hagen. We were supposed to be there for 2 weeks. But the first week that we were going to go, my wife had a miscarriage. And so, you know, stayed home for... I got there on Sunday night, stopped by Brother Matthew's church and preached for him Sunday morning. He asked me if I'd stay over in the night service. I said, I just can't bail. I just feel I need to be in that meeting. Isn't that what I said? I just felt I needed to be in that meeting. And got over there and I got a good seat. Good to know people. And set me up front. And Dad was ministering. He got talking about the prophet's anointing. He got talking about some of his visions. Now, I don't give you a clue. When he'll get into those visions, you know, and if you help pull on it, you can get him into something. Help if the crowd will pull on him. You see, and understand, and he got into something. He got in spirit, and he was talking about, you know, us prophets. Were you guys there? He said, you know, he said, us prophets. He said, us. He was talking about the prophets. Some of us, he said. Of course, the subject was prophets. Some of us have been held back. For different reasons. And he was saying that. As soon as he was saying it, he was right in front of me. And he just sit there and hit me on the head like this. He just went, boom. And the second time he did it again. And you're one of them. And he dug his fingernails in my head and blood started pouring out. I call it the blood prophecy covenant. He apologized to me later in the back. And I said, you can do it anytime you want, as long as it's the Lord. Amen. Here, but the thing it was is, he said, "You're one of them." Then in the back room, he said, "Ed, you're released. Now you can go with some things. You've been held back for this time." And you know, sometimes that because for 5 years I was kind of as a preacher, kind of a little dissatisfied. You know what I mean? Because you know, you get to a certain point and it don't seem like you can go any further. It doesn't matter what you try or what you do. You want to do right, but you can't go anywhere. A lot of times that's God protecting you and keeping you back. And just because we don't see things moving the way we should doesn't mean it's not God. Can you say amen? That happened to you. Hallelujah. But you're released now. Hallelujah. That doesn't seem... Doesn't seem that you get so far, and that's about as far as you can go. We felt that with the church. But at the first of the year, we were released. God gave us some things. Now you're released to go to the next phase, get ready for the next building, and now you're going to pay. And he told us to change our music, do some different things. And you say, amen? And see, you've been held back for different reasons because it would have been devastating to you. But you're almost there because you came back home. Because this is where you belong. I'm your spiritual father, and don't forget it. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, you know, since so much we said, the Holy Spirit, help me. And I know you will. I got, in 1987, we wrote that book. Matter of fact, it was, now that I think about it, I was at Mac Hammond's New Year's Eve when God gave me about the fresh oil and what was to come. Now, the Bible says He'll show His prophets what is about to happen. And He said, and I wrote the book, and one of the things He said, a lot of the Word of Faith people won't go with this revival. And that's proved out. I said, it's proved out. Also, God told me that He said, Dad Hagen is the one that's going to take us into this next phase. Pray for him. That was in 87. And that the day he came over and dedicated our building, I can say this publicly because he's told other people, you know, you heard Leroy the other night. If you was listening, you would have heard what he said. Dad wanted to go home and be with the Lord. Now, there was nothing wrong with him physically. It was just some things happening that he just... You know, sometimes things can happen and you just like to just take off. I've been there. I said, I've been there. And he came over and dedicated our building, and we had anointing like this, provided room for that prophet's anointing. That's why you see these guys come in and got that prophetic anointing. They just step in it. Praise God. We learned how to do that. We learned how to prepare a room for the ministers and ministers. That's why they like to come here. Can you say amen? And he got in the anointing. He got back into some things. He was saying, you know, for 3 years, he kind of goes out of that prophet's anointing. He was just in that teaching's anointing. Were you guys there that night? You were, huh? You remember that? Did you know what was going behind the scenes? Did you know at that time? Huh? Little bit, yeah. Praise God. But anyway, I got up. We got the tapes out there. I got up. You get those tapes, you listen to what happened where we're in right now. And I was up there trembling. I mean, my legs were shaking, and God said to say what I showed you. I said that Dad wanted to go home and be with the Lord, and that He was the man supposed to take us into this next realm. Some people want to whine. We can't. I don't know why. Are you God? God said He was the man that was going to take us. Because you really think about it, there ain't very many men that walk. I mean, God said, I speak to my prophets every way, but Moses, I come face to face. Brother Hagin's the only one I know where God comes to him face to face. I'm not talking about in a vision. I'm talking about sitting down by your bed and talk to you for 3 hours. That's that anointing like Moses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, he's an apostle of faith. He's a prophet, but he's also... Actually, I like this. I heard one time he was preaching, and this came up in my spirit. Apostle of balance. And those that listen to him will stay right and get over into the realm where if you'd listen to him. Everybody said, apostle of balance. That's what God said. He said, He'll take you into this next realm. Well, we know this, that happened in 87. It took him a while to get into it. You know, you God started changing. It takes a while. Sometimes we drag our feet. And you know, he got in trouble with his body. Finally, he listened and got over into those Holy Ghost meetings. And we know that last October over there in St. Louis, a remnant of the church got into it. So what are we in? We're in the full fresh oil now. Into this revival. 10 years of preaching and teaching about prayer and how to flow in these things. Can you say amen? So now give back to me. God, you know, I said, well, you know, God spoke to me several months ago. He said, now I'm changing your job description. You've been involved for the past 10 years, traveling all over the nation, talking about this fresh oil, talking about the move of God. Been one of them, not all of them, but one of them, just ministering. And because I remember that anointing before 87. You used to come to our camp meetings in 78, and I flowed in that. Meetings like this all the time. This ain't new. People falling out on the power and laughing. We had it all the time, didn't we? All the time. Glory to God. He said, then he explained some things to me. He says, you've been a sent one with the anointing of God. You have the ability, I've given you the ability to impart and pull out gifts out of ministry and bring them to a high, and bring them to another level. I can't explain it. Actually, Patsy Bierman's the one that planted in me. She told me, you got the ability. God showed me in prayer, you got the ability to impart that anointing, to pull out to a gift and put them into a higher realm. See, God uses men to do that. Can you say amen? But if they'll stick with you long enough, you can help them. It's getting them to stick with you. You know, they all want pacifiers and things don't go right to have a fit anyway. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I said, this is why this young man's got the anointing. I remember one night when God took him and slapped him up against that wall, and then God said, now he's ready. Because he went through, he was proven. You heard Leroy talking about being proven. He was proven, now he can go to the next level. Now he's pastoring the church. If I remember right, he said it's over two years old and they're running almost 200 people. I like that, praise God. In Austin, where it's just nothing but a trip, humanistic, tree huggers, rat huggers. There's nuts over there. And now you heard him last night, he's believing for a radio station. That boy will get it too. Because I put something in him. He stayed around. He worked for me and we let him go for it. I laid him off. He went down and got a side job down here. But he was in the meetings. He said, as the Lord living, as you living, I ain't leaving you. God sent me here. He spoke to me when I was reading your book. Was it Fresh Oil book? And he spoke to him. He said, you hook up with that man. See, there's something here. We got a whole generation of preachers had everything. Mama paid for everything, had everything handed down. Thank you. Glory to God. You know, there's something about in the middle of a test and a trial that there is. I'm not saying it builds faith, but it builds stamina. Glory be to God. I like to put it, no quitting sense. Doesn't matter what comes your way. No quitting sense. You know what I mean, Pastor. Hallelujah. And he said, now I'm changing your job descriptions. Job description. Now this is what he said to me. He said, I'm going to take you into a realm of miracle signs and wonders that you've never walked in before. I'm going to get you back into those some things that used to operate in the 70s. You remember that. You know what I'm talking about. He said, you're going to start having more visions. Actually, it started happening down in Peru at Jim Andrews' place down there. First morning we got up to preach, power of God hit me and knocked me down, and I got up and there was Jesus there in midair about 15 feet away from your balcony, about the level of the balcony. Spoke something, told me to tell you something. Had they come to pass? Coming. Amen. They will come to pass, every bit of it. Can you say amen? And then we had some unusual miracles, at least they're unusual to me, where some people had their teeth whitened. And he told me, now that's a sign to you too, to me. He said, you're going to start getting into some things. I just went over to Germany. I just went over to Germany and took care of something. I don't know exactly. I just went, hum, 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 and I was back. Took care of it for you. Now see, that happened to me in the 70s. You remember, I used to get caught up on the platform and go somewhere. So for 10 years, I was working in that vein, moving right along. And now he's changing the job description. Oh, same anointing, preacher, teacher, mostly preaching, sometimes teaching. But he said, I'm going to take you into another realm, and you can help pull other people into that. Pull them in there and go into churches. Can you say amen? But he did say, he says, now you won't have to go as much as you have been. See, I used to, with that anointing, with the fresh oil, with that message, I had a grace on me that I can go every day, I can get in airports and go through all kinds of stuff and still get up the next morning. But one day in Jacksonville, Florida, last year, latter part of last year, I couldn't get out of bed. I wasn't sick. There was nothing wrong. I just couldn't get out of bed. And I said, Lord, I can't get up. I can't get up. And he said, I just want you to know. He said, now the grace is lifting. Cancel the meeting where you're going. There's already some preachers there. They can take your place. And he said, you go home and rest. He said, but I'm not going to allow you to go the way. And he said, I'm going to get you an airplane. And he said, now you'll go where I tell you to go. And he said, now you'll see your finances go up. And I figured it out the other day. I was telling my wife, I said, where it'd take me 2 weeks to get the offerings I got, I can go for 3 days and get the same amount of money that I'd take when I was gone for 2 weeks. Greater anointing, see. Stepping up. Everybody say, stepping up. Glory be to God. Everybody say, stepping up. So, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you for your help, Lord. Now, the Lord released me this week. I didn't know when, but I got the answer today in a meeting. Which way to go? Hallelujah. And, go over to, where do I want to go? 2 Kings. Believe he is prophet. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 13. Actually, God, a couple years ago, God started dealing with me this scripture, and I kept... Have you ever had, Pastor, you know yourself, you get a scripture and you get some good stuff, but you know there's more in there. There's just something in there, and you just keep after it. I keep preaching on it. I did it with fresh oil all for 10 years. I'd stay with the gifts of the Spirit because we're coming into an area. I just said, I'd preach for several years, 5 years, I just wore out 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just preaching on the gifts, preaching on the gifts, minister on the gifts. See, the prophet's got to speak. That's what Dad did. It took us 10 years to get just to the point where we're at right now. Hammering at it. About being full of the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Being tanked up. That's how far off the church was going. Amen? But we're coming back. There's a remnant of us. Not that we're something special. It's just that we made a decision to go with it. We made a decision to go with Dad. We need to go with... Can you say amen? Now, if you'd like to get the tapes of that dedication that night when he got into it, we have them. It would bless you to get them out in the bookstore. So people get ready for that. Now, look at here. In 2 because it has a lot to do with what's happening today. 2 Kings 13. Actually, it was Brother Coulter that brought my attention. He says, you don't realize, Ed, I don't think you realize how that meeting has an effect on what we're doing today. And so I went back and listened to it. I said, my goodness. Look here, Elisha died and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year, and it came to pass as they were burying a man that behold they spied a band of men, and they cast a man into the tomb of Elisha, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Revived and stood on his feet. Now this is what the Lord is. Now, that intrigues me because I was thinking, my Lord, there was enough anointing in those dead bones, a dead man's bones, there was enough residue anointing in those bones to raise a dead man up. What do you think we could do that us that are alive? But I mean, I just keep hammering on and preaching about that anointing. Because a lot of that, I mean, I'm a lying prophet. I got skin on my bones. I think I could do more. And I got the anointing of Jesus too. I think we could do more. But this is what God, in relation with this, He said, the last 10 years, what we've been doing with this fresh oil on, a little tinkle here, getting more and more and more, is that we've been reviving the church and putting it back on its feet with that anointing. Can you see that? Can you see that? It's reviving us and putting us back on our feet. Glory be to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, with that in mind, go over to Isaiah. Isaiah 10:27. Now, you say, well, I probably heard this for the last 10 years. You're going to hear it more until we get it down in our spirit. Can you say amen? Now, notice what it says. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off of thy shoulder and his yoke from off of thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, we've heard that, but I like to read it out of the Amplified. Out of the Amplified. And notice what it says in the Amplified version. We have these Bibles out there. You've got King James on one side and Amplified. You ought to get them. It's wonderful for studying. We got those out there. And it shall be in that day that the burden shall be... shall depart from your shoulders, his yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the fatness. Now we know fatness, oil, represents the anointing. Now look at this. Now look at this. Now you remember Dad been teaching us all these years about being full of the Holy Ghost? Now look at this. And they say, well, you're nuts. What's good is this laughing? What's good is this joy? Here it is right here. Which prevents it from going around your neck. It's prevented medicine. I mean, if you'd stay full of the Holy Ghost, it'll never get on you. I mean, why wait till you have to have somebody lay hands on when you can walk in it every day, 24 hours a day, and no yoke will get on you? Prevented. Everybody say prevented medicine. You see, praying in the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. Dad was up getting some suits at the Coulters, you know, helping him get some suits and stuff. So he flew up there doing some business. So he went over there. And he said all the time he was being tailored, what was he doing? He was praying in the Spirit. You get around him. He's staying tanked up. Everybody say tanked up. You know? It's tragic when preachers come in the back room and say, now let's pray, you know, emergency prayer, emergency tongues. We know we're in trouble. I mean, a guest minister, now let's pray. Well, he should have been tanked up all afternoon praying in the Holy Ghost. That's dangerous. Let's have emergency tongues here. Never mind, I've been praying all day. I'm well preaching. Well, I didn't. That went over real big. Praise God. Anyway, I don't care. Prevents it. Jim, it prevents it. Glory to God. No yokes can get on you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Now, with that in mind, hold on to that because I'm going to use some more in this because there's some things. I mean, God, over last week, Colorado, God came into my hotel room and started showing me some things, what's going to happen. And I want to predict some things to you. I want to tell you what is about to happen. You believe the prophets and it will come to pass. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now, over in Matthew, go over to Matthew chapter 11. You preachers listening to me, help you. I got free. I'm free as a bird. I'm going to let anything. Things start great. You're trying to get on me. I said, no, bless God. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Get that. Just keep it off of me. Because in everyday business, you can have bad news, different things coming to you. And it's all designed as to yoke you. Now notice here, 28 verse, 11th chapter of Matthew. Come unto me. Me and Pastor Webb were discussing this, some of these things the other day in Illinois. Come unto me, all that are heavy, are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Everybody say rest. Some preachers are, they're wore out. No rest whatsoever. Well, I could be around Scott. He's just a rested, calm, powerful, prosperous preacher. I like being around him. My wife just fell in love with the church. She says, we wouldn't pastor and we just had a travel ministry. Bless God, we'll be moving to Birmingham just to go to his church. Now, that's a compliment from my wife. I never heard her say that before. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, what's he mean? If you learn of him, learn the Word of God, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you know that Dad, he for almost 10 years been preaching about being filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, what is the Lord doing? He's getting us prepared, see? We're going to walk around yoke-free. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your... Look at it. My yoke is hard, and my burden is heavy. I was in a minister's conference here a while back several years ago, and there was a guy up there. It was probably about 3,500 people. It was probably about 1,000 sheep, and the rest was 2,500 ministers. And there was a guy in the morning, and I went. I wasn't preaching at that convention. I would have tore it up anyway. But anyway, there was a preacher up there, and I love the pastor. The pastor's this big church, and I'm sitting in front there, and this guy's up there telling about how heavy it is, how rough it is in the ministry. You know, he was involved with PTL, and all, he was kind of involved in that. He said, oh, it's been the burden of the ministry. And then I was just sitting there minding my own business because I know how to shut my ears off to all that junk. I'm thinking about a John Wayne movie right then. You know, bless God, John Wayne. We know he'll win, praise God. Now, you love me, don't you, preachers? I don't go to too many preachers' meetings. Amen. I was in one time. I mean, the last one I was in, we were in there, supposed to have been all faith preachers, and they were griping because they had to pay $3.95 for chicken. I told them, hey! I hit my thing like that. Hey! I'm paying for everybody's meal, you bunch of gripers. Supposed to be faith churches, and they're griping. Griping in their Sears suit. J.C. Penney suits. Bunch of poverty-minded people. That's all you're at right now, but come on up a little higher, preacher. Glory to God. Yeah, you're yoked down. Don't be yoked. Don't let people be yoked. Don't let deacons. Don't let a board. Fire them. You're the head of the church. That bunch will yoke you down. Amen. We're only going to give you so much. Your wife's going to have to go down and get a part-time job. We ain't paying you hardly anything. Remember, this is my meeting. I can say what I want. I'm not in somebody else's church. And you came and sat in our chairs. Can you say amen? Amen. So this guy's preaching how hard it is. And he came over. I'm my own business. He comes over by me. He says, now I know Brother Ed here. I don't even know the guy. I don't know where he knew me from. He says, now Brother Ed, he's a faith man. Now he's after me. And the cameras are like this. They're live going all over the network. I told you the network, you know. So here I am sitting there live. And he's hammering on me. I said, I never said that. I wanted to be on the speaker. And then he was sitting there hammering. Then he turned away and walked away. It made me mad he walked away. Because I said, what are you going to do about this scripture, buddy Rub? I says, you know what you've been doing? You've been carrying your own yoke around, and it's not easy and light. That's right. If it isn't easy and light, there's a problem. That's right. It's because you're on empty. You're grouchy. Moody. Carnal. Said, didn't he say his yoke was light and easy? I made up my mind. The Lord showed me that about less than a year ago. And I made up my mind I'm going to let nobody yoke me. And I mean, the devil tried to test me, Pastor. I'll tell you, Brother Scott, I was coming out of the meeting. There, a woman was waiting. You know, I don't know why. It seems like the devil uses women more than I'm sorry. My wife will straighten that out when she gets up. She says, I don't like you. I said, well, I like myself. I said, because you got a problem. I ain't going to let it affect me. I said, I like myself. Praise God. I said, I like myself. You like yourself? I said, you ain't going to yoke me. The Bible says that I ain't going to let anybody yoke me. See, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I ain't letting that get on me. Because things like that will yoke you. Sheep will yoke you if you let them. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Dad Summerall said this so I could say it. I sit under his ministry for 15 years. He said, he that followeth the sheep get doo-doo on his feet. You lead the sheep. You're a shepherd. You feed them. Not lead. They lead you. Can you imagine? Now, Pastor, here's the sheep waiting for the pastor to pull up. Now, you go in the old bus over there and you go pick up those kids. Now, look at me. The pastor is the head, the top authority in the local church. And don't you forget it. Now, go to Zechariah. I was over in Colorado. He's now I'm going to show you what is about to happen in the church. Amen. Now, I was in the back room. I was sharing some things with Dr. Landsman here because he's a Hebrew scholar. He's a full-blooded Jew, born again. And I was asking him some things about candlesticks and different things because I was over there at Brother Pendleton's church in Colorado, and God started dealing with me about something. Hallelujah. He said, I want to show you what's about to happen. Amen. Now, let me read this out of the King James. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Help me. And the angel that talked with me came again and woke me. 4:1, excuse me. Zechariah 4:1. As a man that was waking out of his sleep. Hallelujah. I saw an angel today. And I said unto me, not trying to bring attention to myself, but it's speaking to me about this. What seest thou? That goes along with the prophet's anointing. That ain't something weird. And I said, I looked, and behold, a candlestick of all gold. Everybody say all gold. What did Jesus say when he came face to face with Brother Hagin in 87? He said, we got to bring the gold back into the church. We are in brass. See, what's he trying to do? He's getting us back over into the gold. Because into the gold, we're going to have some things happen. Now, what are some of the issues he had to deal with that people got mad at? One, about clapping at the right time. And you say, amen. About the clapping. And he brought out how Jesus, he wasn't aware of it either, that I understand. You know, he just said, I didn't know what we was doing. Jesus took him on the top of the convention center there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he said, now see all the people are clapping? He says, that's neither praise or worship. I remember that night when he said it in 87, when he said it to the body of Christ. And I started traveling. I was traveling around the nation. Everybody, most of the people said, oh, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, he just had too much chili. And got offended. People got offended over it. I said, well, we're not stopping clapping, but they're missing the whole thing. There's nothing wrong with clapping. We clap tonight with the beat. But this type of anointing in here right now, if you start clapping, it'll dissipate. It will go away. Well, if clapping is really applause, we can clap for a minister, we can clap, you know, somebody come up, but we don't clap for God. Give them a hand clap. We had to get that of vocabulary. My wife said, "Did you hear what you said? You said give Jesus a hand clap." I said, "I just did that because we, you know, get in those ruts, a habit. And we need to get out of those things. Give Jesus a hand clap." Well, we give athletes, we give movie stars, we give people that were, you know, that's a man's praise, but that isn't what we give to God. He said, "Lift holy hands unto the Lord." We lift holy hands unto him. See, that's gold. See, this is getting us back in the glory. We get back in the glory, then the gold will show up. Can you say amen? Praise God. And then other things. Hallelujah. That he shared with us, and a lot of us that he's our spiritual father, if you follow him a little bit, about the different things that he was talking about. Other issues to get us in the goal. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, to pray in the Holy Ghost prevents from yokes getting on you. Dad said something, boy, it hit my wife, and she reminded me of it the other day. She said, you remember what Brother Hagin said? She's got a memory like an elephant. She's not an elephant, though. Boy, strike two. I said, a memory, that was a compliment, sweetie pie. Tell the pastor, help me out. She says, you heard what he said? He says, if your church gets to a lull or a plateau, double up on praying in the Spirit. Isn't that what he said? No? Uh-huh. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now look at, and I said, I have looked, and behold, there was a candlestick. Now you go over words in Revelations 1:20. Go over there for a minute. I was doing some study on it. Now I'm not Revelations 1:20. Now hold your place. We're going back to Zechariah. Now notice what it says here. 1:20 of Revelation, the mystery of the seven stars which thou seest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, Lord, that angel came in today and told me, he says, yeah, there's an angel over this church. Now, I've known that, but it didn't become a reality. He said, you haven't really been, he said, the pastor needs to use that angel more. He says, that's what I'm here for. He was in back there. Now, he didn't appear to me like I see him, but I saw him in the Spirit. I hadn't had one of those kind of experience like Dad. He was just a higher, little higher anointing office. There's different degrees of prophets. Amen. Did you hear that? Pastor Nancy. That's what he told me to say while I'm up here. Start using that angel more. Good for you, Pastor. We haven't, he said, that we're not used much. Now, there's ministering spirits there to help another area, but he said, there's an angel. There's an angel that are over the church. That's what's caused that. I saw it. I just saw it. Had a flash. That's the thing that picked that tornado up. Just picked it up and pushed it right over there. That's what I just saw. I just saw it in my spirit. He picked that thing up and just pushed it where that tornado was coming towards your church and just lifted and pushed it down on the other end. I saw. Glory. And the angel of the seven churches and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So I'm safely, and I talked to the Hebrew over there, right here, that would mean that the candlestick would be the church. Amen? I said amen. Now notice this. And the behold, the candlestick of all gold. See, God's trying to get us back into all gold. With a bowl on the top of it. And his seven lamps thereof, and seven, I didn't know what that thing was. I saw it over God. I didn't know what it was. I never studied this. The seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Now go to the 12th verse there, and we'll come back because I want to see the two olive trees. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches? Which, though the two golden pipes empty, the golden oil, notice, golden oil out of themselves. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. I know, I've been there. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole world. I didn't understand that. And if you get a concordance in doing some studying, they say that these two witnesses, they say that those two witnesses are Enoch and Elijah. And that these are the ones that were taken up and they never died, but the Bible says you're once appointed to die. And they say, now this is what scholars say, they say those two witnesses supposed to come back down here and supposed to die and be raised up on the third day. You read it in Revelation. Is that right? I'm not a Revelation really teacher. Isn't that what it says, preachers? I mean, that's what they say. Now, I don't want to go, I don't want to get in that. But here's the thing. Enoch and Elijah. Now, you go all the way through the Bible, God used Elijah. He's in the New Testament. He's in the Old. In Malachi, he talks over there at the end of Malachi about Elijah. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Over there in Malachi, it says now into the Old Testament, it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. Before the great dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall return the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth. Now, many have gotten off. We read about different men said, I'm the Elijah that's supposed to come back. Now, listen, look at me. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about that spirit of Elijah. There's that type of anointing. The spirit of Elijah. So don't go out of here saying, well, he's heads off, he's preaching. Can you say amen? Amen. I was in that hotel room, and they gave us a nice suite, and I was in one room, my wife and I, and I saw this oil pumping. I saw this oil pumping. Go back to Zechariah. He said, what are these two olive trees? What are these two olive trees? These are the two witnesses. Now look at here. Now go back to the third, 4:3. And the two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side. And I answered and spoke unto the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? What's that? Give me that amplified version. There's something there that I want to praise God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. And the angel talked with me and answered, do you know not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, this addition to the bowl. Now, these are this lamp, and there's a bowl on top with oil in it. And in the oil, the two olive trees is pumping oil into the bowl. And the bowl's distributed into the church. We're the church. And he said unto this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive tree. Well, it ain't going to flow unless it's gold. That's why God was, this is what He showed me in God. That's why you've been preaching to get people in the right worship. Get them living right. Get all the concession stands out of the temple. Because it's bringing brass in. Now, back in Brother Hagin, we heard him say this, that during the healing revival, when that started weaning, is when the people under the tents and meetings and crusades, they started having popcorn. They started having hot dogs and they were bringing in the auditorium. I told the people, I said, I'll rip that mulch all up if you start bringing that stuff in here. There's a place for it. Yeah, you understand what I'm talking about? I'll rip it out in a minute if it's going to affect anointing in this church. Can you say amen? It's good, it's fellowship and everything, but you start bringing it in here. I know I've been in church. I was in another church with Bill Matthew, and I was jumping over the chair and stepped in a carton of milk and oil cookies. You remember that? And you remember the woman was shucking peanuts and throwing them on the floor? Well, I'm preaching. Remember I stopped and I said, well, what are you doing? How dare you bring that in the house of God? That didn't make me very popular. I think the pastor was mad at me too. Spineless. Last night, we was getting ready to dismiss, and half of this congregation went right out those doors where I was talking about. I mean, the anointing just went, poof, no respect. See, no, we got to change that. It isn't that I'm being hard, but when everybody's going down this way and you're going upstream, it's sometimes rough. But that's what we've been dealing with. That's what we've been dealing with. That's what we've been dealing with. Everything has to be right. It has to be gold. And the oil will pump through. Lean over here. You're one of them. You're going to take the miracle power in this generation and you're going to start seeing miracles. More than you have ever seen. I'm not talking about a toenail being healed. I'm talking about arms and legs. I'm talking about eyeballs. The reason we hadn't had those miracles is because we had brass in the church. Jesus told Brother Hagin, the reason I can't do these things, I can't go no further. He said over in Las Vegas when he was out there, when that angel appeared to him and said, you can't go no further until they stop this clapping. Well, I don't understand. Well, don't understand it. Just obey what we got to obey what God does. And we've been endeavor to be a model of that in this region. It's been a rough hole to go for a while. I mean, in the natural, for the simple reason, everybody goes to church with flip-flops around here. I mean, they can go down the street and go anywhere they want. They can act like a dog. They can do anything. And they all come in. We lumpy, lumpy, boom, boom, boom. And we're lifting up a standard. I mean, you're a clothesline preacher. Why? Because I just said don't stink when you come to church. I guarantee you, bless God, you wouldn't wear your flip-flops if Clinton asked you to come to have dinner. You wouldn't do that. I'm talking about having more respect for God in the best that you got.
That's good, brother. That's good. Amen. Yes.
We got to have it for the oil. In a minute, I'm going to tell you what. Some of you are already getting it. Is this in line, Pastor? You know you're supposed to judge everything I do. I submitted myself to you to do that. Keep on line. Okay. Hallelujah. This addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees. Enoch anointing. See, we're coming into an Enoch in Elisha type anointing. That's what he told me. Now you're coming in. This is what you're going to have on your ministry. And it's going to take a little bit of time. We were down there in Peru. God was, I never seen that. That was just a little start of it. Jesus appeared, told me it's starting. And people's, I mean, where's the dentist at? They're whitening their teeth. God was whitening down. This is my dentist from Knoxville, Tennessee. They look all right still? Yeah, did a good job. They're whitening. And what else? There was teeth that wasn't there, and God put teeth in there. That's a creative miracle, wouldn't you say so? See, I'm starting to see. I've seen in the last few months, I've seen more cancer patients healed in my services. Because God told me, this type of anointing, no cancer will be able to stand in the presence of this type of anointing. We're coming into miracle signs and wonders. Creative miracles. We have to have the gold. For the oil, it won't go through brass. It won't go through these things. I said, Lord, this ain't my bag on this kind of stuff. He says, it's going to start being your bag. I'm showing you the Elijah, Enoch type of anointing that's coming in the church. This generation has never seen those kind of. I'm talking about going up to a river, brother, and just say, and take your mantle and know how to use it, and then the water goes right and left. And walk on dry ground. God got his big hair dryer out there and dried all that mud and walked on, didn't even get no mud on his feet. Woo! You walk in the anointing, you won't even get mud on your feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. That's why he wants the brass taken out. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Shucking peanuts. And eating peanuts. You was there that night, wasn't you? They were shucking peanuts. I wanted to walk off. Disrespect for the anointing. Last night, half of the people walked out. I wasn't even finished talking. I didn't say, amen, you're dismissed. Walking out. See, that's what I'm talking about. We got so much of the worldly spirit. And that's the reason we don't have the miracles that we have. But we're going to get into it because we're going to get in that gold. We're going to have the right worship, the right music, being filled with the Holy Ghost, doing the right things. Can you say, amen? Eating Oreo cookies and drinking milk. That stuff belongs in the other area, the malt shop or whatever, but not in the temple. Amen? Now, some of you, know, I love you, and you know, we're just trying to help folks. You know, people bringing soap into the temple and using the temple, you know, and so forth like that. That was no good. And Leroy got onto that, so I'm not going to touch it. Let him be mad at him, But all that kind of stuff. Well, we had to deal with those things. What was it doing? It was bringing in brass for the gold of prosperity. That was brass of prosperity. That wasn't true prosperity, what God wanted. I saw that several years ago. Can you say amen? And I don't want to hurt anybody because I want people to be blessed. I want real prosperity. And I saw what it was going to do. And it got me in trouble all around the nation. People were mad at me. But I was right because it proved out. Can you say amen? See, a prophet, a lot of times, mostly a forerunner isn't popular until after he's dead anyway. John the Baptist wasn't in some areas, you know what I mean? But what did I say? Believe ye the prophets. We know as following Dad Hagin, he's our spiritual father. To many of us here, we have the same dad. And we made up our minds we was going to follow. But there's many that are not. I was in the table one time after service and there were some cocky preachers. And they say, you know, Dad Hagin is getting senile. I caught myself going over like that. I almost slugged the guy. How dare you? How dare you? Talk about a man of God. I don't know any other man. There could be. I don't know of any other man where Jesus comes personally and sit down and talk face to face. Now, this is where we're going to take. Well, see, that's usually in an apostle ministry. Prophets and apostles. He's a sent one. He's a man that is sent to bring balance to the body of Christ. And if you listen to him, it'll cause balance. I wanted to, man. You're talking about my papa. Talking about. Bringing reverence. Holy reverence, that gold and the oil can pump in the miracles. We're the ones, if we're going to pay a price. Brother Hagin and Norval were walking down the street and asked, a crippled man in a wheelchair, and said, what did it take to get that man healed? What was it? Is it the will of God to heal him? And what did he say? Somebody's going to have to pay the price. See, the church hasn't paid the price to have miracles in our community. And we blame, say, well, they don't have enough faith. It's because there's too much brass. And God's going to start pumping into the gold. He's going to start pumping in Enoch and Elijah type of anointing. I didn't say them. I'm talking about that type of anointing, working the miracles. That's what he showed me as a prophet of God. He showed me these things. Can you say amen? I said, can you say amen? Amen. Then he said to me, in addition to the bowl, to the candlestick, causing to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol. By my anointing. See, that's where we get it. As preachers, we get in the anointing and walk in the anointing. It's easy and light. Says the Lord of hosts. Now look at this. For who are you, O great mountain? Now how many of you know in the Old Testament, a lot of times a mountain means a big giant. Isn't that right, scholars? Help me. O great mountain. And look what the Amplified said. For who art thou, O great mountain? Of human obstacles. You become a plain. You'll become a molehill. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now notice this. Now here's something. Who would reason despise the day of small things? Look at me, preachers. Don't despise small things. Don't get no grumbling and griping. You got to stay in faith and quit grumbling and griping. And despising small things because we're going to get into some things. Now, I've never said this, but I got help today from the board advisors on Fresh Oil Fellowship. We were starting a fellowship for ministers that want to go with this, that are not hooked up anywhere in the field. But in there, those men started ministering by the Spirit, and they ministered to me. And now you quit... backing off, you get and say these things. But if you follow some of us, we can take you there. The ones that want you, we can take you into that. Because God told me, I'm putting anointing on you, you can take them. They'll go with you. Because I see, as a prophet, I see so many misuse of minister organization. It's just to benefit the head man sometimes. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to get in that. I've dragged my feet. I've repented to these men. I know I've been dragging my feet on this, but you see so much wrong motives in behind getting a bunch of people under you. Hey. Got to have the right motive. I want the right motive. You see what I'm talking about? You getting anything out of this? I'm going to tell you tonight, miracle oil is going to come on you. God said He'd pour it out tonight if I obey Him. He said He'll pour this out. ceaseless supply. Never run out. Praying in the Holy Ghost, staying pumped up. But this is what we're coming in, these type of... Now go study Elijah a little bit. Go study it and find out the kind of miracles. See, we're going to have working a miracle. Everybody say, we don't see too much of that in this generation, do we? You know, we hear a little here and there and there. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to get into it heavy because the oil's pumping. To those that remnant that will walk in the gold. The churches that will pay the price to walk in that gold. Pastors that will lead the sheep instead of the pastor following the sheep. Miracle anointing. He said, that's what's going to be flowing from your ministry. That kind of oil. Now, see, I've had a different anointing. So that's why, see, now I got to switch and get over in this other. And then another thing, he said, now I'm getting you, I want you to get back more into your healing ministry. Because I had a lot of miracles in the 70s and early 80s, but I was dealing with this other thing since 87, dealing with issues. Now you can get over in that. See, that's why he was holding me back, because he... How much more with that anointing we can take our cities? Because it's not by might, it ain't by programs or anything else. It's by the anointing of God, it's by that anointing. But my brother and sister, you that are going with this, I want you to know we're coming into a little different type of anointing. Have you noticed this anointing is different than it was before? I mean, the only way I can explain it, and I'm not making fun of anybody, it's like your brain did. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's a different anointing. We haven't really understand it, but it's a miracle anointing. That oil. See those two olive trees pumping oil. Hallelujah. Who art thou? Who art thou? Can you say amen? Amen? Glory to God. Praise God. Then he said in the 12th verse again, I'll read it again. A second time I said to him, what are these two oil branches? Which are beside the two golden tubes and spouts by the golden oil is emptied out. Do you not know that these what these are? I said, no. These are the two sons of oil. Whew. Who stand before the Lord of the whole earth as His anointed instruments. And it gives the reference. Now you do some study. You teachers need to do more studying in this. You know, I'm just telling you what God said to me. That's all I am is a reporter. I'm reporting what He showed me. We're coming into some things. But the gold is very important. It's very important. And we get our churches into the gold and operating in the glory. Anointing gets moving, people get talking, passing gum, passing notes. Ain't going to work. Going to have to stay reverent. It's taking time. It's taken us 10 years. I mean, Dad, even, because God said over there in 87, get those tapes of that. I said, the Lord said, He's the one that's going to take us. Like Elijah took Elisha into another realm. He brought Elisha into his room. That's what we've been doing, these Holy Ghost. We've been going in the prophet's room. This is how we do this. If you listen, that's what he's doing. You think about that, being filled of the Spirit. Learning how to pray in the Holy Spirit, how to pray. Being full, not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it prevents the yokes from getting around on you. You get out in that world and you don't pray and you don't have no... you get yokes around you. How many know what I'm talking about? Glory be to God. But that's what the Lord told me to tell you. Miracles. There's oil in here for miracles. Miracles for Germany. Miracles for Germany. Miracles for Peru. Miracles in that country. They have heard of revivals and miracles, but nothing compared to what's going to happen. Miracles! So the Lord tells me to say it. And I'm going to say it from now on. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to have Dad call me out again. So I'm not going to have to talk to you about this. You say what He says, the anointing's on you for miracles, and you can transmit it. You can bless people. Just like you could with that tangible anointing, healing. Our healing lines have just been stronger, been a stronger anointing. Pastor Scott. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God! It's going to take, as it would, the fivefold ministry would represent the bowl that would distribute it through the church. Oil of miracles. Oil of miracles. Stand up. Dead man's bones had a residue anointing to raise that dead man. So you can imagine if we learned how to be skillful and how we could. Miracles coming into a realm. They're coming into another phase of ministry. Ooh, it's so sweet. Been so faithful. Did the best you know how, but you're stepping up. You're stepping up. You're stepping up. Woman of miracles. Women of healing. Get back in it. Get back in that healing anointing. Get back in it. And it'll double. It'll double the way it was before. Put your hands on each other's shoulder. It's the way the Lord told me to do it. I have to do it the way the Lord told me. Actually, I was at Pastor Scott Webb's and Brother Hagin was there and he spoke to me. Now, this is what I want you to do. It is... You got to do it the way God tells you to do. You're going to benefit. Can you say amen? Miracle oil's coming upon you. It's going to be splashed, just like somebody would splash oil on you. Anointing, smear, brilliant. What's that other word? Bright, brilliant. Smear. So you can smear. You want miracle anointing on you? Well, stand up. Put your hands on each other's shoulder. Now, I got to do it this way with the people in the congregation, but the pastors, I got to do it a little different. I mean, the ministers. I got to obey God. But this is the way He told me to do it. You got to do it. See, now you guys, you know, learning when the Spirit, you got to do it the way God tells you to do it. Your natural mind will get in and want you to do something else. Now you do this, it's more organized. work anointing. Be blessed.
This is the kind of oil that's being pumped into the church. But only into the gold. All the way to the back. Stand up. Put your hands on each other's shoulder.
Be blessed!
God told me most of you preachers are not going to leave this convention the same. You're getting cease a supply of oil.
Be blessed!
Put your hands on each other's shoulder.
Be blessed!
Brother Tom, you're stepping up tonight with miracles. Come on. Come up here quickly. Come up here quickly. 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 Brother Jim, come up here right here. Quickly. Quickly. Quickly.
Morning!
Brother Jacobs, come up here quickly.
Morning!
Is this what you was talking about?
Yeah, my. Look at the bush. Lily de Bosuki. Lugle befa booba ba 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 ba.
Dripping with anointing. Believe ye the prophets and you prosper. Now you'll flow stronger in the office that the Lord has called you in. Oil.
Well, that's you. Kapuhi, pufufufuhi.
Ebe. 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 Ebe, woman of miracles. Hungry. Oh, we're hungry for the move of God. You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. Rabbi, the plan that I have for you is even better. The plan that I have for you, very shortly, you will see it and you'll walk in it, and the anointing of God will be strong. Oh, because you're a good man. I've seen your heart been good for me. I'm going to do some things for you, son. I'm going to do some things for you. And quit carrying so much of it. You can't do it. You give it to the Lord. You give it to the Lord. Because it'll affect your health. You give it to the Lord. It ain't your care. Just start laughing when the devil tries to put that stuff on you. Stepping up.
Be blessed! Be blessed!
Ed Dufresne Ministries is reaching out through a worldwide traveling ministry, miracle and healing crusades, Bible teachings on audio and videotapes and books, evangelistic tent crusades, and a Bible correspondence course for prisoners. Dr. Ed Dufresne is the founder of World Harvest Bible Training Center located in Murrieta, California, a part-time Bible school dedicated to training believers in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you would like information about our teaching materials, Bible school, or about becoming a partner with Ed Dufresne Ministries, please write us at P.O. Box 1010, Murrieta, California, 92564. Also, visit our website at www.eddufresne.org. At Ed Dufresne Ministries, we're believing God for 1 million miracles and healings as we carry God's healing power to this generation.